hear what they say. Power though, we're on our way. Escape to reality. Escape to reality. Escape to reality. Escape to reality.
Welcome everyone to Escape to Reality Podcast with Justine.
And Geneva, hello friends. We're thrilled today. We are joined by two special male guests, which never happens, from another Below Deck podcast, Dylan and Pat. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Doing great. Don't forget Bad TV. That's our big ship.
Yeah. Your
your
are
flagship.
We on the show now?
Yeah, we're doing it. We're doing the show. Oh, my bad.
No, live.
How are you two?
You're back.
What's Bad TV? Tell us about it.
Yeah, tell us.
Bad TV is our effort to break down some of the less trafficked shows. They should be more trafficked. But, Love After Lockup is kind of just a phenomenal gift to us. I mean, it's just such a pleasure.
To the world, honestly. The world.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable show because we started reality TV recaps with The Bachelor, which is approaching and has been in an Old Yeller kind of phase for some time now. So we're covering Love After Lockup and Rock of Love on Bad TV, and then we're reluctantly going to be doing The Bachelor's new season on our Patreon.
They pulled us back in, but we also the upcoming shows are going to be obviously Love is Blind, and then Seeking Sister Wife, and probably a little 90 Day Fiancé.
We'll mix it all,
everything that's bad on TV.
Yeah.
Watch Extreme Sisters. If you guys want to get back together after you start watching Extreme Sisters, we'd be down. Yes. That's a good one. You got to check that out.
Sick. Sisters.
It's on TLC.
It's sick. It's on TLC.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
We won't tell you anything. Just start watching.
Okay.
You'll love it.
No, if it's from the Learning Channel, it's probably going to be good.
And you will learn.
All right. So before we get into Love After Lockup, first, fascinated to know, like, how did you guys start doing this? Like, there's not a lot of men talking reality TV.
Oh, and
like,
you guys don't talk Below Deck. You didn't mention Below Deck. You talk Below Deck.
We do.
We do. That's probably our most popular show.
The most popular.
Another Below Deck podcast.
Again, that's getting bachelored a little bit. They've got 15 different versions of it. And quite frankly, we're fucking exhausted by it. So
yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
How did we start?
We worked for Adam Carolla.
Yeah, we met at Adam Carolla. I was a producer there, and Pat was in the wings on the business side of things. And yeah, we started recording out of Adam Carolla's studios.
Hit the ground running with Bachelor. I think we had a little niche with three straight guys mixing it up with the Bachelor world.
Three straight players.
Okay.
And then we just put it off. The next one was Below Deck. And then before you knew it, we just started talking about a bunch of different
things.
We've done Flavor of Love. That's how deep and dark we go into.
Oh, love this. That's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah, Flavor of Love is a demerit in the reality television show history.
So if you met like a Martian, like an alien, you were like, you need to watch one reality show to like understand why reality TV is good, what would you tell them to watch?
I mean, right now it's recency bias, but I would say Love After Lockup without a doubt. But I think Love is Blind is magnificent reality.
It's a classier version.
Fantastic.
And but have you watched all seasons of Love After Lockup?
This is our first season.
You gotta get on Clinton Tracy.
I've been a fan for 3 years. I'm back when steak or blowjob. Steak, please. I mean, if you remember Angela,
we know Angela. We've interviewed her several times. She's a good friend.
Have you really?
She's great. Awesome. Gold. On and off. She's exactly what you get. She's a nice person. Like, I would let her babysit my children. She is so sweet. I love her.
To smoke though.
She'd be blowing my husband, but that's okay.
I loved her.
No,
I just loved her kicking the guy out of the house. I just saw a little snippet, but yeah, I'm a little green when it comes to the show.
Angela, she's
right. Oh, it's good. You guys got to go back and watch like the second season or the early seasons are just gold.
Here's my problem with the show that I'm concerned with. All right. So 90 Day, in my opinion, got ruined by all the various spinoffs. And then it's all the concocted storylines, all the I mean, if you have a half a brain, you're like, okay, I see what the producers are doing here.
Yes.
You know, with respect to 90 Day Fiancé, I don't need, I think her name's Angela too. And the guy, her husband, I think it's Michael. Why does she still get to be on 90 Day Fiancé and its various spinoffs? Like that story your emotional attachment to her has been abandoned since season one. For me, they ruin the experience. And I fear they may do that with Love After Lockup, with the show Life After Lockup.
Yes.
Oh,
so we took a season off last season because we were feeling that same strain. So we used to do 90 Day Fiance. We've stopped because it's like, just can't, like you said, for all the reasons. And so Love After Lockup has that tendency to like, it can feel that way. And so like, we had to take a break. I love this season. I think it's good. This season's
redemptions. Yeah.
You're on to something.
I was going to ask you to
three. Yeah.
How is this season compared to seasons of yore?
It's solid, kind of season. Rekindling the love.
Yeah.
I think okay. so.
But I
think,
I mean, it does. Sorry, guys. I keep talking about
this. Oh, no. Zoom. I was just going to say, if you want to go back, like, you guys should go back and do like a season one or season two. And like, you would just be like, oh my God, this is just gold. Because so
what was the couple where she was African American? She came out and she went and jumped on him to meet him, and his false teeth fell out of his face.
Scott and Lizzie. That yeah.
Yes. Oh, good memory, Geneva. Oh, yeah, she's great. Yeah, and then you follow them through their sober journeys, or they either go back to prison. You get attached these people, your heart breaks, they're like back in jail, and you look at your phone, you're like, damn it, I was rooting for him. It's like, I didn't think he'd go back to jail.
Yeah.
One other aspect about this show that I find fascinating is how the best part of this show is they usually only film, my understanding is, like 2 weeks to a month of them getting out of jail, and then they capture as much as they can. This is the most real story that you're going to get out of these people. After this, if they step into Life After Lockup, then it is completely cooked. So whenever it's this version of it, I'm all in. For the other parts, I'm not sure.
My favorite part of the show is them interacting with strangers, be they baristas or hairstylists. And
the best. I got out of jail.
Open and honest about how, they've been incarcerated
wedding dresses
for a while.
It's the best. Like their haircut right out of escaping like the halfway house. Yeah.
And we've joked that the show has a Christopher Nolan kind of Dunkirkian time travel play, where one storyline will take place. I mean, Monique and Derek, it took place a 10-minute car ride, but then other couples who are, you know, it's a day, 2-3 days.
Yeah, we literally just watched Fury Road Mad Max with this last episode. I mean, we just kept cutting back and they're still being chased by the bad guys.
Yeah, still in the car.
One last thing with prisoners, that little TMI is, I like how one episode the girl, they were at a coffee shop and she mentioned, hey, I just got out of prison, this is the best coffee I ever heard. And the poor barista asked the question, how do you guys make coffee in jail?
I think
it involves a tampon.
No. It does not involve a tampon. But I like the barista. She was like, this is an opportunity for me to learn more about the entire spectrum of coffee making. So
all the conversation starter. We've done interviews with a lot of the cast. Like I would say probably, I don't know, over the years, like 60 to 70% of the cast, and like our jail, our favorite question to ask is like, what did you make in jail, and like get their jail recipes. It's crazy.
Oh man.
The stuff they put together, the creativity. It's unbelievable.
The creativity is unbelievable. The TikTok of various bags of alcohol and food and stews and desserts and whatnot. I mean, it makes me sad. I mean, it's a real, real motivator to never commit.
It is.
I love food too much.
Todd Chrisley is melting down some Cheetos right now.
Yeah.
I watched the show where they how they communicate in the girls' prison at one of these was on the like sixth floor, and the guys' prison was on the fifth, and they communicate through the toilet bowl, and they call it. Like, hey, you're gonna go talk on the bowl.
Yeah.
And they
Jailbirds is one of the, if you haven't watched Jailbirds on Netflix, please get your life together and watch
it's
that.
Dark.
Oh, I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's a real
Where they talk on the bowl. They had whole relationships. They call it on the bowl. They'd be like, we met on the bowl. And it'd be like, they met through the toilet. And they're like legit in relationships. It's great.
That show makes me sad though.
Yeah.
It is kind of sadder. They're really troubled.
Yeah, it sounds a little more like real. It could very easily make you sad.
No?
Love After Toilet Lockup love doesn't make me sad that way, but yeah.
It only makes you sad when there's kids involved, I feel like.
Me too.
That's when
Justine and Montana Mills moving to Vegas seems like a bad decision for the kids.
I wanted to smack Michael this episode. I guess we'll talk.
Yeah, we'll get into it. You guys.
Yeah, we'll get it. All right. We'll start with Skylar and Nathan. Nathan's breakdown at the restaurant. How do you guys feel about their odds and the two of them? What's your take?
Well, one, that house is You could argue that it's more horrifying than a jail cell.
Jason Voorhees wouldn't live there.
The amount, there's one scene before they get to the restaurant. There is a bed that is, it has so many things on it. There are cords all over the place. And I do think the grandma is still alive and in the basement somewhere. I'm not sure, but the house scares the fuck out of me.
Well, so when he fed like for dinner was a little bit of the grandma's body or for breakfast.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, that house and its cellar is where that woman from Barbarian lives.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Terrifying. Right.
But no, for them as a couple,
I think it's charming around Christmas time.
Yeah. Yeah, the ghosts get a little cheerier. But for them as a couple, I don't really have much confidence that they're going to be together. And I just want the two of them to, I don't know. I'm more hopeful that Skylar's going to pull her life together. Nathan, his insecurities, his squirrely kind of fidgety energy, his random 1,000-yard stares. I do not like that guy at all. He just grates on me. Very annoying.
Oh, I'm also scared for her and going back to prison, because you mix it up with a guy like this, and the next thing you know, you're screaming at each other in a parking lot. And remember, she's on parole. This is arrested for, and by the way, he's an ex-felon. I don't even think she's supposed to be hanging out with this dude. I'm shocked her mother, who seems like she's got her act together,
she did
signed off
that,
on her going and hanging out with this.
Control a little Skylar a long time ago.
Yeah.
What are you? Are we at odds with your opinion on the
oh,
two
God,
of them?
No. No, yeah.
I think he's going to murder her and be Googling how do I dismember her body, just like that guy
100%.
In Connecticut or wherever just did the other day. And
you just talked about this story.
What?
The guy who's super bad at Googling.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to murder someone, don't Google it.
Yeah. Use a machete on my wife, that guy.
How
long does a body take to decompose?
There's like right under the surface, there's a level of anxiety, and like you don't know what Nathan's gonna do. Like the way when he stood over her, he's like, stand up. And
where
I love her.
Going?
She doesn't give a fuck. She's like, I'm not leaving. Yes. I'm hungry. Like, I'm not. Yeah. No. Like, I love her energy, but that's the type of person that will piss that type of person off. Like, she will make him spiral into like a DEFCON 5. Like, she has that ability to just.
Place.
And why is he napping so hard? The scissor.
Oh, can we talk about the napping? This is where I have Jewish neuroses. So I get, if my wife doesn't answer the phone, I go to death almost instantaneously.
Oh, yeah.
If there was a 4-hour period where.
Oh, I'd
and then
pissed.
It was just a nap on a floor mattress. I would just lose my lose my goddamn mind.
I'd flip that bed up. You're like, what the hell?
I love how. Well, she has a pretty bad track record with boyfriends, so I can understand the issue. I think two of them are dead.
Well, the fentanyl community, the fentanyl community does, lose a lot.
Here's the interesting thing about people that have been in prison. It's almost like they lose their nerve endings for things that are really terrifying and scary, and everything just turns like kind of nonchalant. Like, for example, when her friend Gracie, who's also a jailbird, they go to the house and find out that Nate is, in fact, not dead. Gracie's like, all right, cool, well, you know, I got to head back to the halfway house. And I'm like, she did that
Cab's
with
coming.
like nonchalant, like, hey, I'm going for my shift at Wetzel's Pretzels. Like, you're going to basically a prison without bars.
Right. Right.
He's like, you with both look really pretty, though. You look great. Yeah, you too.
You look great.
Mess. I thought he was going to proposition for a threesome there. But.
Oh, and back to the restaurant. When he stood up, I think that idiot was going to get on one knee and propose. I thought that's what he was going to do.
That would have been nuts. I mean, I loved the friend where he's like, he kept answering the FaceTime. He's like, are you going to keep on hanging up on me like a female? It's like, I love how everybody in this world never refers to women as women. Everybody's a female.
Yeah.
It's like
a female term. Yeah. I don't know. I don't feel great about it. One thing that I picked up from dinner the thing that really stuck out at me was the strawberry lemonade rosé, which just seemed a little food.
And
color.
She ordered it, no problems. Two bottles. Did you notice? She's like, yeah, we'll take another bottle.
Two bottles of it. Yeah.
She's having fun. I'm surprised he didn't put that phone across the room or put it in the rosé.
He seemed like he was like
aggressive.
A second away from flipping out. Like,
he uses
and I
his
love
phone insurance.
just these towns that they're in, the fact that she's at this restaurant and some random dude who stole money from her a long time ago comes over with a shot is like, where the fuck do we live?
It's so crazy. It's like a really sad Dr. Seuss kind of world where you just run into people who have robbed you.
Well, it apparently is a small world. These small towns. Remember when I think one of these guys went into a shop and the girl's like, oh, hey, I know you. He's like, oh, yeah. Sorry.
I robbed your car.
Sorry. I took your mom, stole your mom's car. It's like, it's okay. Glad you're on the straight and narrow.
Oh, yeah. It's such a mess.
It's amazing to me that the person stealing a car would be in the right mind to know whose car they're stealing and even remember. That's the scary part.
Know the parent. I know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think Nathan is one or two episodes away from completely losing it. And
I think so, too.
She doesn't seem... I'm rooting for her more because she really does seem like she doesn't want to be a part of it.
She doesn't want to go home and live in the mom's house. It seems like it'd be nice.
Yeah. Right? Nathan? Yeah. At her mom's house, I'm sure blood does not like trickle down from the walls. Yeah. Really, really creepy stuff.
That house is terrifying.
I can't think of a couple that I don't believe in more than them. I mean, Chris and Gabby are obviously at the bottom of the barrel, but I think Nathan and Skylar are kind of the next up in the tier ranking of bad relationships.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I wonder if she will end up back in jail. You think she is aching for drugs, or you think she? What's the vibe?
I'm not getting a fiending vibe from her. I don't know.
Seems like he might call the cops on her. Like Geneva made a good point that Monique might call the cops on Derek to put him back in to keep him on watch.
To control him.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, she prefers him locked up 100%. I mean, most of these people do because that's where they have the control in the relationship is when somebody's incarcerated. They feel like great in that state, you know?
You know, in that sense, 90 Day Fiance, where actually someone from another country moves to America, these shows are extremely similar in that the person who's getting someone here, it's all about control.
Yes.
It's 100%. Now you're in America. You're under my eye. I control your finances. You can't get a job. The two shows are so similar.
Well, and there's also this really, really sad complex going on where there's this, like, I don't know how these people think that it can work. So it's this kind of delusional optimism that seems to be born of this desperation. Like, this is all I have left. Like in Monique's case, I don't know how she thinks that this is ever going to work because she just seems to be his, I don't want to say pimp, but she just controls all the money. She controls everything. Yeah, it's not a relationship. And it's just this grasping at straws that's super, super
sad.
He's
not going shopping alone, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I love her look, that side eye she gave him.
Oh, he's so trapped.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Let's see here. Anything else on those two before we talk? Maybe Michael and Justine.
Well, I want to say one thing overall with the show. This was a great episode, but no Ashley and no Travis in that metal detector, and no Martin the neighbor. I mean,
Ashley and
where's
Travis
the neighbor?
They're far away.
Gabby and them, and bring us Ashley and the neighbor.
Ashley and Travis are hands down my favorite couple because we've got Martin there just over the fence, who is an MVP of this show, and. Yeah. We also have somebody who said that he was a treasure hunter.
But he had to make a career change.
he had to make a career change. That's not a profession that exists in.
He's a dreamer.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, his treasure hunting involved him breaking a lock on someone's garage looking for shit.
Yeah. He's a picker.
He joins American Pickers with the guy. They broke up, I guess, but oh, God. I know I don't know where they are. They're fun TV.
They're being underutilized. Their first episode where she goes and gets the like sketchy homemade cocktail that she has brewing, like I don't even need from like 1950 and pours it to him and
so
kisses the picture.
Yeah.
So I'd watch her go to the grocery store. She's a
I would too
character.
You know she has weird interactions. Like constantly.
Yeah, it was like an odd thin orange with no ice. I was like, what is in that cup?
I can't stop thinking about that drink. I need to know what it was. It looked horrible.
Nathan's drinking it.
He is.
Yeah.
For grown people to take naps. I guess we have kids, so naps are out the door for us, but it was just kind of
never been a big nap.
I'm with you. I
could nap my life away. Yeah.
Oh, I love a nap, but I feel like
his kids a 4-hour nap. So, yeah.
Yeah, if you're not hungover or something or sick, it's like there's something going on.
A lot of hours.
Can we talk about that scene in Michael? I hate Michael.
Yes. Oh, you do?
I hate Justine.
I don't hate him. Okay, go ahead. Tell us why.
All right.
Make your case.
All right. Forgive me for being judgy, but he says something in here where he says he admits that the kids feel a certain way, that's him, about him abandoning them to stay with a woman he's known for about 6 months, but fuck him.
Yes.
He says he can't accommodate them. That's a quote by him. And he needs to look out for himself.
I love the
word. He's a piece of shit. Yeah.
He can't accommodate his children. That is crazy.
Yeah.
I dare I say that's the exact opposite of parenting.
Yeah. I can't accommodate you right now. What are you a fucking...
I gotta stay with my girlfriend that cut me through. Yeah.
I cannot stand her either. She seems like one, she is ready to be in the cooked like spin-off series of Love After Lockup. It's so apparent that she's kind of playing the game. She thinks she's a little bit more of a chess player. Yeah, the long game. I mean, you look at, they have a website, you know, you can tell half the scenes are cooked with them already. Yeah. But yeah, I'm not a fan. Have you guys had an opportunity to speak with her?
No, I think she... There is a stage 5 clinger nature, like the way she, when they were driving the car, she's like holding his hand, like to the point where he can't even drive. You know, there's just like there's a codependency on them that I just like, she, it's kind of sick to me. And I,
yeah, the kids should be number one. He should be worrying about his kids, not Justine and what the hell.
How did you two feel about the mama bear stepping in and what mama said?
I mean, I thought that, I think you can't really tell people how to parent. So like that was her first mistake, but Justine just took it to the next level. Like she just, she obviously doesn't, she has no respect for the elders, if you will.
Yeah.
They're both crazy.
Exactly.
And taking a 15-year-old, she's like, not only did I let her get a tattoo, I went with her. It's like, what? Yeah. What are we
up in the game?
So when they have this little
powwow. She's on birth control.
All right. Yeah. When they have this little powwow at the house with the sisters and the mom, it seems cooked to me, but one thing that stuck out with me, did you guys see that Dish Network satellite that was at ground level?
No.
I think that might be dangerous. You get like arms growing out of your head.
I did notice that. Their whole backyard. See, there's just like that. That's, they're in Philly, right? They're driving up in like, I don't know how much that car is. Whatever that BMW car.
Someone messaged us asking what Justine does for a living. Do you guys have any clue?
I
don't know what she does, but I think that car is like,
is there a pull involved?
100 grand?
It's at least 100 grand, I think, because that's like a specialty BMW.
Yeah, and it's electric, I'm pretty sure. But it sounded like it had... I'm not a car guy. I'm not a huge car guy. So,
well, she must be rolling in it because she has a 3-bedroom house, and one of them with 5 kids can be allocated one of them for a stripper pole.
Right.
So,
yeah, that is a great point.
Oh,
yeah,
they
got disposable.
The kids are like, I want my own room. She's like, well, they're taken.
Yeah. That's mommy's room.
Just like the fact that he's on 20 years of parole.
Insane.
20
that always blows
years.
Our mind. Yeah.
You're just,
what did he,
you're set up to fail.
Do?
I don't know.
I don't remember what
I don't know what he did.
Doing.
What were
we
his charges?
I gotta keep a spreadsheet of their charges.
I know. We have to do better with our spreadsheets.
Yeah, except for Travis, who went to jail for highway robbery. A lot of these things are like drugs and possession.
Sure. Sure.
What do you mean highway robbery? You mean treasure hunting. He was hunting the treasure.
Which, and it's a little touchy for us to talk about it because obviously there are all these socioeconomic traps that are really sad that a lot of these people fall into.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's really messed up that people go to prison in certain states for something like weed.
Yes.
But, and I'm sorry to jump around, but in Cam's case, I was like, oh, that's such bullshit that they're putting these people away for weed. But then he was like, I walked on a plane with a carry-on that was filled with 30 pounds of marijuana and they smelled it. I was like, in what
world? I can't
world
check that.
Think, how is that not going to make the entire 747 smell
well,
like
in my dictatorship world, that's totally okay in our world.
Yeah, that's totally legal. I agree. If we were in charge. He didn't he say he'd never been arrested before that.
Yes, he did say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, not even a traffic ticket. It was like, so that's
overachiever.
Your first illegal choice is a bag on a plane. Like, come on.
Well, Michael and Justine. Oh, sorry.
No, there was that chase where some police were in pursuit and rather than put 5 bullets in his back, they decided to tase him. That funny story that he shared at the studio.
Oh, yes. He did share that in the studio. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, forced on Michael.
Oh, yeah. But Michael and Justine, why was Michael so shocked that he couldn't leave the state? Like, that nobody gives him a heads up of what's going to happen. They have all these future plans. They're just so stupid.
Oh, yeah. The happy couple was definitely disappointed by this news, because I guess he can't leave the state for 60 days and he has to have, what is, and then also he has to be married for him to be able to consider to move that.
I think that's Cam, yeah. But oh. I think it would.
No, it's the same thing. And this is going to prevent him from his family visiting in all the special moments. And most importantly, he won't be able to record his music
in multiple states. He said,
yeah, he had plans
no new
to shoot
Montana Mills music in this year.
We should have had a camera on Mocha when Montana Mills delivered this news, because Mocha flipped the fuck out at his office, which is
Mocha,
a public place, and it's a cigar shop, and he doesn't own it. But that's where
and he does business in the cigar room. It was great. When they first came out, like, Michael and Justine looked like a wealthy vibe to me, and they're matching sweatsuits and like their bling. And as we've gone over the course of it, it's getting like sadder and sadder to me. And now he's like trapped in this little house in Philly, and his dreams of recording in multiple states are cut short. And it's just like, I just
lost for us all.
And you two said last episode, there's nothing sadder than like a musician who's at the far end of like, if it doesn't happen tomorrow, it's not happening, but they're still hanging on to it. There's plenty of people in Los Angeles who are in West Hollywood who are like 50 years old, and they're in like tight leather pants and
clinging on.
You have to stop.
Well, you want to tell, let it go. Let that dream go. It's like,
it's hard.
Girl from the White Lotus. Who's that actress that gave that speech about never giving up?
Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah. So there's an example. It could work out, you know.
Yeah.
But Montana Mills, no.
The difference between Jennifer Coolidge and Montana Mills.
She's had a career.
She's been working in Hollywood.
Guys, you have this in San Diego, and I think you said Vegas. Yeah, which is, you have a friend that has a fucking Maybach parked out in front of their studio apartment, like. Or they live with their mother and they're 38. It's like, it's all bling. It's all show.
Yes.
But really, it's the car payment is all that they can make. But I just, for me, that's always
that's, absurd. Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah, that's like Gabby, right? She parked outside of her projects in Jersey. She has her BMW, you know? It's
how
like
the car. How did the car get back there? I don't understand.
I know. Did he not walk by? I have like a lot of questions. Media. We'll get there. All right. Let's talk the car chase, Jarek and Monique. Yeah. Justine put up a tweet that cracked me up about like Derek in the back the whole time, knowing like who, like knowing that he knows who's the person chasing them.
He said
like,
that because you knew he knew.
Oh, well, he knew.
It's this weird. The show is, I'm being the rookie on the podcast right now.
Yeah.
I am so impressed that this show manages to keep giving us cliffhangers, and not like shitty below deck, like somebody dropped a drink and they might have gotten cut cliffhangers. Yeah. Like, is that his sister's, or is that somebody who's trying to kill? Like, I'm on the edge of my seat.
It's a woman looking
show.
For her man.
Looking for her man.
That's probably
it. I love how it was so intense in that car that they all start pointing fingers at each other. At one point, Derek's like, hey, Monique, maybe they're chasing after you. Maybe they're coming for you. And I was like, what would be the motive? Derek, cannibals
turning
don't
on each
live
other.
In America.
I mean, the cameraman in the front looked like he was like, his hand was kind of like shaky. Like,
yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? I thought he was doing some Wii TV show. Now I'm like,
he's going
car.
Along with it. Like, don't stop. Yeah. They're getting out at the intersection. Yeah, hit it. Yeah. And how much gas does she have? And this seems like it's going on for forever.
And the show is, I don't know if you guys have found the Love After Lockup Reddit, but it's one of my favorite places on the internet. People are brutal, but the fisheye GoPro car shots of Derek and Monique are.
They did her so dirty with that. They just did her so dirty with that camera angle on the car cam. It's like,
very
you can't
dirty, but
like that.
I would punch Derek after I got out of the car if someone made me drive like that, and the producers. If someone put me in that position where I have to be the driver in a high chase thing, I'm going to do it and I'm going to get us alive and I'm going to speed, but I'm going to punch people after. That would piss me off.
Take everybody
off. Well within your right. Yeah. No, but Monique has this thing about her where she's, and this is
she's
where
a ride or die.
it gets tough to recap the show. She is more.
I know.
Well, I don't want to be on reality television with my body, and I'm fine. Monique is, you know, we're approaching a fatal size here.
But I feel bad that she's probably getting so much mean things. She must.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm crazy. Sure it's brutal.
I can't imagine.
I mean, listen to Derek's
I've had
sister.
People tell me I look fat just from this podcast. So, I mean, it's crazy.
We've got it. Too.
We've got.
I've had three kids and people come up to me like, are you pregnant still? Oh, you're having a fourth baby. It's like, no, bitch, I'm walking every day doing this 12:30 and I thought I was losing my stomach fat. No, I've had three babies ripped out of me. I'm not pregnant. I can't imagine horrible. What poor Monique is getting.
Don't ask that question. Just let people tell you. Do not ask that question.
Oh, yeah. No, never ask. Never ask. No, like what he said at the end, like there's just last week, I thought that he was being the most reasonable person in the world. Right. He's trying to talk her down, chill the fuck out. Don't blow anything up. And then this week he's like, there's a few things I'm keeping from her and I got to go on my way. And then when he was like, she's smothering me, it was like, that's exactly what this is. This entire relationship, she was able to do that in jail because he needed somebody to talk to. But now, like, she doesn't want him to get in a car without her. So it's just. It's all going to, I mean, it's going to blow up. I'm sure it's another
like
chick.
In a Fiat. If she was like a really cool, like SUV where she had a lot of room to spin that wheel and stuff. It would be badass, but it was a tight squeeze. So it is even more comical.
Yeah. She did not have a lot of room to turn.
Even give her a minivan, you know, give her some space.
And there is another fucked up camera angle where they hit it like five times in the fucking episode.
The side.
It's like a cigarette ashtray or something.
Yeah,
that is fucked up. Like that, I feel like they did on purpose. When has there ever been an angle from somebody's stomach where they're just showing somebody driving? Like they just don't do that. It was like, what do you do? TV.
I'm the surprised producers, that. Yeah. Oh, sorry. That WE TV doesn't have an obligation to keep them safer, and that they would push along the car chase. That something could hurt other people and have the producers in the car and not. Feel like they have to pull over. I guess that keeps them. They really seem scared, but to not call 911, it just seems like there's liabilities there. I don't know.
Yeah. I could be wrong, but just with my limited knowledge of production, sometimes shows like this, they'll be so on a budget or so cheap, they will just send out a cameraman, a lighting guy, and a sound guy, and just go, here, go film. You know, get this scene of them driving from A to B. And these producers that live in these different states, they have no clue what they're getting into, really.
Yeah,
You could tell with him; he really didn't know. I mean, I think these producers are on a like, you shoot everything till they tell them not to shoot. For example, we interviewed, I can't even remember her name now, Rachel. There's a classic couple, Rachel and
you guys.
Doug.
Oh, that's another classic couple.
Oh, classic.
Holy,
there is a scene where it looks like they're having sex like on camera. We asked her point blank, and she was like,
Love After Lockup.
Oh yeah, the producers like they knew.
Was this
the
laundry room?
No,
this wasn't in a laundry room. This wasn't a hotel. First, he's like banging her in the car, and you could tell that was happening, but it was like the camera wasn't showing it. The next one was a live cameraman. Like they're just in there. We're National Geographic.
She said there was insertion, and then they pushed her out. Yeah.
They toned it down because I thought even with this season, it's been like, you guys are still in this room right now? Like,
right, they
left,
push
like
it to the limit.
They are getting off. The people leave. Are getting off. It's a creepy little like stare down. It is,
Well, you guys have been covering a lot longer, Dylan. I think they usually do what you think they do, which is they pull out of the parking lot where the felon gets dropped off at you know, in the van. They drive a mile down the street and bang next to a wooded area.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
gotta love that.
All about.
I get.
They're all about alive, like
who wouldn't?
In the woods at a gas station. You know,
that's true love. You don't love each other if you can sit in the car together and wait till the hotel, like Michael and Justine.
It depends on the wood or the gas station, but I would argue that both of those could be very romantic.
Gas station.
Valentine's Day romance.
Yeah, there you go. Date night. All right. Gabby and Chris, Justine. So I don't know if you guys have seen this, but you probably have the footage on the internet of her getting the physical altercation.
I've seen it. It is so disgusting. It's so horrible. Brutal. And it's so weird to see that there are people online who are still, people hate Gabby so much that there are comments like, well, what
she
did
deserves
she
it.
Do? And like upvoted, like 600-700 upvotes. It's just wild. Her Instagram has been deactivated, I believe. And I think we got their hands on her. And they're like, you got to shut up. She is one of these people where we have talked about it. And I have, I don't know, I have family in Appalachia. It's kind of a sad part of the country. And you look at certain people and you're just like, you're going to just exist like this for 60, 70 more years. Like, it just, I don't see the point of that kind of life. Like, Gabby is so awful. And Chris is insidiously awful.
Yes.
But Gabby's been very loud about how shitty she is.
She's lost. I actually feel for her a bit. I know she's not a good person. One thing I noticed that with the first scene that they had, because, you know, they were fighting in the last episode, they wake up in the morning. And Gabby's one of those people that decorates her apartment with all those home good signs, those feel good signs, like
live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
I always suspected that when I walk in someone's house, because I'm like, why do you need to be reminded of these things?
Yeah.
Yep. 100%. There's Gabby is, if I hadn't seen that footage, I would be like, I think I would be way harsher on Gabby. I'm kind of like watching it and being like, oh God, but she is
anything. Yeah.
She's horrible though. Like, just even the fact that she's up his ass, not picking him up. Fuck you. Da, da, da. And then meanwhile, she's making terroristic threats and facing charges. It's like, you are not holier than thou. So don't act like you're like somehow better than him. You guys are both in the dumpster together.
I don't understand the psychology of someone who thrives on that kind of shit. Like, it's purposeful is an understatement with how she's trying to get this negativity. She's just baking in it. I don't know.
Well, I can tell you this because I grew up with some of it. I didn't grow up in sunny California with a nuclear family. She probably came from a childhood that was extremely chaotic. I'm putting on my amateur psychiatrist cap here. But so all she knows is chaos. Like, she lives within chaos and all this insanity.
Which is
it's
so
normal.
Strange because her mother, Edna Mode, is, and she seems like a great lady, but I don't know a lot about her. She's a tough cookie.
That doesn't mean she was a mess of a mother.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, it's just, all of it is just a mess. And like, I really, it's not enjoyable to watch because like, you also know the back end of it, you know, where it's like, oh, it's not all fun and car chases. It's like, at the end of it, two people are like beating the shit out of each other. I just like, I don't love it.
Fucked up.
Well, I'm shocked this show is so popular, but it kind of says something about the culture in that we crave some of this craziness. Because, you know, shows like this were very common in the aughts, in the early years of reality TV, where anything would go.
Yep.
And then it, you know, PC culture kind of stepped in and it was like, oh, you can't do that. This show is leaning into it. I am uncomfortable. Right. When I watch Chris and Gabby argue, I'm like, I'm sensing that it might some of it be cooked or producer kind of puppetry, but I don't know. And I don't know what's going to happen in front of me. It's one of those.
Oh, things. We do know that this said it's hard for me to watch just knowing that what does happen. It's okay, I guess, if I'm blind to it. I just like, you know, maybe she pushes him to beat the crap out of her, but to know that, not that she pushes him. See, I don't want to say that because it's terrible.
Right. No,
but the fact that they do end up in that space, it's like, I don't want to watch this lead up to them. It's not fun.
It's kind of like, I was akin to the producer in the front seat of Monique's car when I saw that video. Like, I just had no idea what I was getting into. I had no idea that it was going to be that bad. But yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, like a slow motion replay of an injury. You're just like, oh, please do not.
Don't ever show this to me again.
See this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go for it.
Do you guys ever think when you're watching this that the production has a role to play in some of this being amped up a bit, you know, like I know it's TV and you're just there to kind of capture what's taking place, but I do think it brings an extra added element. And I do think production is culpable for some of the drama that happens. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had a couple drug overdoses on this show. There was one, I forget, it was season one. I think the guy had Asperger's or something. She was a full on drug addict. The first date they go on is out to dinner where she just starts drinking. They give them a second season or some kind of little spin-off, and before you know it, you just read the news and she died of a drug overdose.
Yeah.
Tracy.
You know, Tracy was her. Was that Tracy?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I think like that's what I kind of with
Clint
with
Tracy,
them.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have said, like, we're going to pull the trigger on this couple once that footage had come out, and you don't show it again because you're providing more space for their bullshit to like fester. Right. The other part of this that really bums me out.
They let it just keep going with the,
exactly. And then it's like the fact that he got his ass beat in Rikers to the point where he got $150,000 settlement and that money is gone. That shit's depressing to me too. It's like, he's already
so depressing. And that's the kind of thing where it's like, I, you know, feel lucky, but coming from where I've come from compared to what they go through, but it's just like thing in your brain where it's like, how do you allow yourself to spend this guy's money in the way that you did? Like, we can argue about where she's come from, but the reality is now we're looking at somebody who is just a shit human being, and it sucks for her, but she's just fucking awful.
She is.
Yeah.
Because, hey guys, go ahead.
Talk. Yeah. And she looks so different. It's crazy just to get see her on she the looks street.
That's all his money. That's the craziest part, right? It's the car, the fillers, and probably clothes.
Ass
is what she spent the money on.
Ass bleaching, vaginal
ass bleaching, vagina tightening.
And Rikers is not just handing out settlements like that.
That's what I was gonna say. You have to get fucking money from Rikers. Yeah.
He
had
to be dead, really.
Literally, I don't even know.
Yeah, he has a strange. He walks weird, and I honestly think it's like a vestige
damage,
of what happened. Right. It's really.
Did you watch The Wire?
Yeah.
He reminds me of Marlo for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
He has a Marlo vibe to him.
Yeah, he has a little bit Marlo's, of Marlo.
Marlo's more of a kingpin than
yes.
Chris is, but. Hey, before we move on, I want to ask you guys if you remember one storyline this show actually abandoned, which I believe they did because there was probably an uproar from the audience, which was this guy who had a girlfriend who was taking care of his son, who was about 6. And he got out of jail and they're filming him. He goes and visits some of his family members and they're going on motorcycles driving 90 miles an hour
Rachel.
Down the
Yeah. Yeah. That was the same. Those are the people who had sex on camera. Same people.
Okay. Do you remember they stopped following them?
Yes.
That storyline never got resolved. They just, it ended because he's screaming at her in the car with the 6-year-old. And you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah. And I think Rachel had a big thing to do with that.
Yeah. She shut it down. I think
the kid.
Because when we interviewed her, she told us, like, you can't ask about the kid because we're like, essentially, I think she shut it down. I don't think it was him. And I don't think it was production. I think she was trying to protect the kid, which is
good
pretty admirable.
She's one of the nicest people we've most normal, healthy people we've talked to. And she's
what was she
yeah,
doing
I think
with that guy.
I know she has terrible judgment.
I thought he was
she said it. Justine's been walking into the show too long. She thought he was a catch.
He was cute if he wasn't a crazy person who ended up like going and beating the crap. I mean, what his charges were that put him back in jail. He's
just what were his
destined to be there. I think he went and beat the crap out of somebody pretty bad. And I don't know. That all blends together. But they had a fun story how he used to make her dress kind of like a school teacher. So she came and he wanted like a huge hunk of bologna. So she would show up with a cooler full of bologna and she would be like, hey. And then so they ate bologna in the thing and they drove to the hotel. They're banging in the hotel and
with the
producers are there.
Sick.
They were crazy. Yeah.
Just a couple of crazy kids.
And his
crazy kids.
But him having that kid was really sad. But his family was really entertaining too. You gotta, watch.
Yeah, you gotta watch them. They were good.
Well, thankfully, the last couple is the the most uplifting. But you know,
it's Aris all
and
positivity.
Cameron? Yeah, I'm
Cameron
on a
and Aries
edge with all these couples. It could go wrong at any moment, but I'm kind of hopeful.
I love them. They have chemistry. I love when they wake up in the morning and she's like, "You are gorgeous." And then I think he quoted something from The Notebook. He asked if she can smell her on his face.
Oh yeah.
Beautiful.
He's a big Gosling fan, this guy.
That's I didn't romance. Realize her shirt. I saw the nipples last week, like the nipple shirt. I didn't realize it was a nipple with a what's that called? Like a piercing. Like the shirt is nipple piercings with bars.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Which really takes it to the next level. Yeah, you got to look at the detail.
Sexy.
We're talking about a just sister, right? No. We're talking about
The sister's
shirt.
A whole different shirt. The open middle. That was all time. I've never seen a shirt like that in my life.
Can I tell you, you two, do you do favorites of the week or superstars of the week in every episode?
Yeah. Not always, but we do.
It's like these two sisters are running laps around everybody this episode.
Great.
I love these two so much.
Of all time, of the whole series, they're great.
The best part of shows are the like you guys said, the patrons, like the people who are serving them in various areas, and the friends or family. They're always the best.
Right. Like, Martin, we need to get Martin, get an interview with Martin, please.
I love Martin. Oh, these people.
I just, there's something like Cameron.
It's fun to not talk to these people, to be honest, because then I start falling in love with them. Like Tracy, we talked to Tracy before she passed away, probably 3 or 4 times we were doing these lives, and we had her on and we learned all about her life. She came from her dad was like a scientist teacher, and it was just sad. And then to hear she dies is like, I don't want to know these people. It does make you soft on them.
It happens to us when we interview people from Bachelor or Below Deck. I'm like, God, now I like them now, and I can't tell what a horrible person.
It makes it so horrible. And we've grown, so we have them, you know, hitting us up and reaching out to us and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's this like recognition that these people are listening to the horrible things that we say about them.
It makes it
a little bit tougher.
I know. It is much harder.
We have to do a job. We have to do a job. It's our job.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're similar in that, like, we both, like, when we go to record, it's like nobody else is listening. Like, we really just say whatever we want to say. And like, we're not really conscious of like what could offend people, which, you know, may not always be the best strategy, but it keeps it real. So,
yeah, we have to be real.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
okay, the music.
I want to talk about the studio. Can we talk
about
it?
Yes, thank you.
So, Cameron, this is this big day in the studio. Now, everyone seems impressed, but, you know, I have a music background. I thought there was a little rust on those pipes. I don't know.
I thought it was horrible.
Terrible.
I hated it.
Really,
I think there's
sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just there's something sad about a studio like that, like where it's 15 people in it, they're pouring around a cheap bottle like tequila, and it's like you're in a room with like a mattress recording. It's just like, oh, this isn't, I don't know.
And honestly,
that's where Taylor Swift came from.
Just to show you
maybe I'd like her then.
The gap in talent, when you say he's no Montana Mills, you're 100% right. He is no Montana Mills.
No, he's not there
Montana
yet.
Montana Mills has not made it. Montana Mills is spitting bars in the cigar closet. No. So.
And just being like, you know, he spent all his time in jail just writing music. And it's like, again, just there's an age where it's like, this is going to be difficult for you to achieve. And especially in like a way that's going to make it a sustainable lifestyle. Like, it's just, we got to figure something else out. I don't know.
Hip hop and pop music are driven by 13-year-olds.
By the youth.
They get
a
little weirded out with a guy who looks definitely 45 years old.
Well,
get on TikTok. He's better off than wasting his time in there.
The other thing that you need to have, if you're trying to pivot and turn reality television into some type of monetary boon, you need to have your ducks in a row, and you need to market well. And people in reality TV seem really, really horrible at that. Rinna, I don't know if you watch Housewives, but
of course,
Rinna is a perfect example of this, where they have almost an entire episode dedicated to this shit wine that she's making. And then when the episode comes out, you cannot buy the wine.
You can't buy the wine
anywhere. They need to have, you know, the SoundCloud and stuff up and stuff.
That's why Bethany was probably so profitable, because she did follow through.
Yeah, she was ready. Her products were ready. Skinny girl. I think there's another trend about this. When they were at the suit shop, he came out in that all red suit. For some reason, it's like they come out of jail. Anybody who gets a suit is something ridiculous like that. We've never seen anybody come out in like a posh black like tux. It's like they're always like it's Dumb and Dumber.
It's so crazy because it's so not broken. It looks magnificent. If you get a tailored suit, it's just a normal dark tone. But this was definitely a choice. He looked like a Batman villain.
He's a shining star. He's got
he was ready. I loved
nothing
his sister
like
as
your
well.
Sister being looking at you cross-eyed that you don't introduce your kid to your fiance before and kind of shame her.
Was this the one that looked like she came straight off the set of an MC Hammer music video?
Well, the loved older it. Sister I think she was dancing. I just love these two sisters so much. They're put in such an uncomfortable position, and they handle it pretty well. You know, they're
they were fantastic.
Apprehensive. They're concerned. They can't really hide that, but they're also supportive.
They're also like, they were talking shit. They're calling him Speedy Gonzalez to his face. You know, only siblings could do.
Asking what the daughter's name is, referring to her as their niece. It was sweet.
Yeah, that was so sweet.
I think they approve. I think they approve.
I think they're on board. They were like, we got to go to the mall and get a dress. Got a
cute girl, like, I love how he pretty much pressures her into getting married within 24 to 48 hours and then beelines it to the studio, wasting probably a couple hours of their day. It's just ridiculous.
And he talks about sipping on something. I love that too. Like just dropping, like, I just need to sip on something.
You can't get too drunk though. That's what the PO officer said.
Right. Right. He already failed a breathalyzer. Time management, Cameron. Come on. Time management. And also the breathalyzer was not broken. You did not have one drink. That's not what happened, Cam. Come on.
The way he was opening that bottle. And just in the studio and that vibe, it was over. It's going to be a long night.
I'm excited for next episode because I need more Travis and Ashley in my life. I think the entire show could be about them. And we think that she is probably has a credit rating of 115 and she is living off her credit card. And her and Martin have this plan to kill Travis for insurance money.
I think they're scammers all day. That'd be great.
I was just going to ask you who's going to murder who first, Travis or Nathan, but you think Ashley might murder him. And you know what? I would harbor her as a felon or a criminal if she did, and a fugitive if she killed him. That's great. That's a good idea.
I think there are a lot of people who present as though they're capable of it. I don't think there's anybody more capable than Martin. And Ashley, Ashley strikes me as someone who would watch it the entire time with a little smirk.
Don't you feel like you can see the 2020 now with that?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It's just that part of America, too. That part of Florida is like ripe for that kind of story.
Right.
Swamp the alligators, just put it out there, let the gators eat it.
I think they're sitting out in front of a pond.
Just some cable ties. Well, they would, they would spin it and make Travis look like the victim of the story, which he would be if he was murdered, but they would just say like just a hopeful treasure hunter was just trying to get his life back on track.
Hopeful treasure hunter.
He's the new national treasure. Watch
then
out,
they'll cut to that
Cage.
Sad metal detector in the corner of the garage. Right.
Abandoned. Do you think that he's really into Ashley or he's using her?
I think all of them are using the people that
they're using each other.
Yeah. They all, I think that's what, that's what I was alluding to, which is this desperation where it's like, how do you not see that this is not love?
The right
but
situation.
I don't know. Maybe I'm cynical. Maybe people do get married after
this. I think it's like the catfish phenomenon, right? Like there's something about people now that they're willing to like believe the lie and like fill their heads with bullshit. And I don't know where that comes from, but like people would rather be in a fake relationship that they've never met the person or that person's in jail than like deal with the real in front of them. Really, I don't know. It's really a weird trend.
When we watch 90 Day, we often joke about what kind of kind of disease is this?
Yes, it's a disease. It is for sure. Yeah. There's something happening.
Love is a disease. It makes people nuts.
True. It does. Yeah. A couple of the week for you guys was who?
Couple of the week. I'd probably have to be Cam and Eris. They're the only ones that were not embroiled in some kind of
And I love a man that can capture a woman's scent on his nose and acknowledge it to her and it's gonna be hot
he's
really follow sweet. Up the next morning
a little That's BV great. Goes a long way
about I think, you
I also like Skylar and Nathan. Just
me and Geneva love the nut jobs.
I just think I just loved watching him like drive off all pissed and then calling her like, are you coming? It's like, what the fuck? You just left. Like, there was an irrationality there that I
love a murder. Yeah.
And simultaneously scary because that is very real happening right there. He's because remember at the end of the episode, she basically says, like, I never want to be doing this with you again. What's that mean?
Yeah, we're breaking
up both.
Yeah. Oh, he's nuts. Yeah. And just very that house, scary. Just the creepy undertones of that whole vibe.
Oh, let me ask if you guys, since you know about production, would that phone call is that a setup? Is that planned with Nathan and Skylar when that guy is calling and the phone call comes through so clear? Or did they add that at the end? Or
I believe that is a setup. Yeah.
Okay.
Cause drama.
FaceTime audio is really quite, I mean, the folks over at Apple are doing some incredible things. So I'm not sure.
Oh, you believe it? Now,
I actually thought when they went to commercial break and that patron who had, I guess, robbed Skylar previously bought her a shot to, you know, to smooth things over.
Yeah.
And they blurred out his face. That was absolutely real. But I thought that was going to be her friend, Dustin.
I thought so, too.
Calling.
I thought
yes,
so too.
I thought the same thing. Yeah. And I thought she was just going to have him come on the date and they were just going to keep the ball rolling. But
people who have been robbed on the show are not compensated very well. Like Skylar was given, oh, sorry, I didn't turn off Do Not Disturb on my stupid computer. But Skylar was given a shot of Jameson and the other woman was just given a, hey, how you doing? And her mother was Grand Theft Auto.
That was definitely not. Yeah.
It's lopsided. It's not fair.
Oh, it's good. All right. So you guys are watching this. What else are you watching? Where can people find you? Make sure to shout out all the places you're at.
Check us out on Bad TV. We're covering Rock of Love and Love After Lockup. If you're a Below Deck fan, we cover that show in totality and all of iteration
at another Below Deck podcast.
Yeah. And if you want to join us,
how do you feel about so we used to do Below Deck pretty heavily. We've kind of like it's low on our totem pole now. We just I don't know why, but how are you feeling about this season?
Well, there's two shows running simultaneously.
Yeah, Below Deck Adventure is probably this is the worst season I've seen in a while.
Say less. We'll not be watching.
Yeah, don't watch it. We joke that the entire show is subjecting wealthy people to incompetency, but you need to have a little bit more competence. The adventure crew, we call them the B squad. They're just too bad at their job. So it's not that great. OG has been fixated on one dust up between two sea rats. We call the crew that worked the boat, we call them sea rats because that's what they are. But so it's been focusing on just these two fighting, and it's just ended.
A little
someone
old.
Got fired. So yeah, it's starting to.
We make it funny though.
Yeah.
So if you watch the show,
you're like, we're underselling.
Such a bad pitch. That was such a bad pitch.
Interesting thing about Below Deck is it started in 2012, but it really didn't pick up speed until 2018, and now has five versions of it running in a single year.
No, it's crazy.
And,
yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. We started recapping in 2018, and the show still hadn't bubbled to the surface yet, oddly enough. And we would just like DM Kate Chastain. She'd be like, yeah, I'll come into your studio and come on the show. Like there was PR people at Bravo didn't care about the show. Nothing. Yep. Now it's like, it's become a juggernaut for them. I think they're going to run it into the ground, quite honestly.
We fear that they're going to go by the way of Umami Burger, where they just crop up
too many locations.
It's just too many locations. Yeah.
I think,
but yeah,
like,
listen to us talk about Below Deck. It's a great show. It's our favorite show. It's an amazing television show.
Did you watch Kate Chastain on Traitors?
Yeah. No. Did you guys watch Traitors?
First episode, I watched half. I thought it was really weird, but people are speaking well of it. I know.
So I'll say this. I felt the same way, but I don't think I've told you this either, Justine. Finished it. Loved it. I thought it was phenomenal. If you like an actual strategy game show, it was very good on that side of it. So, Kate was good.
Do the people who are the traitors, they already know who they are when they go into the game, right?
Okay. Well, they get picked first episode, and then essentially the rest of the group is trying to identify the traitors. And if they're there at the end, the traitors get the money. So like the traitors have an incentive to play a really good game.
The traitors don't change throughout the game.
No, unless they get kicked off.
So it's like a game of like Mafia or Secret Hitler or something like that.
Yeah, kind of, but the people who are really good, I'm not a Survivor person, but they're like some of the good Survivor players are in there and they know how to like manipulate people, you know? So it was good. I enjoyed it.
Geneva, it's a big rabbit hole, but Survivor is just incredible. I mean,
people love Survivor. Yeah.
During the pandemic, my husband watched every fucking season of Survivor. Like it was 3 a.m. He's like on his phone watching Survivor. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, excellent season. So he blew through like 20 seasons during the pandemic.
It's an amazing show. The family episodes will make you cry every single time.
Do you guys watch Seeking Sister Wife?
Yes.
Of course we do.
I got to talk to Dylan. And when that show comes back, we're
let's do an episode.
And they're doing a good one where a woman's seeking husbands in March.
Can't
wait. We'll have to reconnect.
Really?
Yes.
Yes. But you got to watch Extreme Sisters.
You need to watch that show.
Hopefully,
we'll follow up. We'll do
good.
We'll do a TLC dumpster episode together. That'd be fun.
Love it. It was great talking to you too. We had a
lot
of
you guys too. Thanks so much for joining us. Everybody, check out their pod. Check out Bad TV. And we'll be back next week before you know it.